All right, here we go. We're gonna do the countdown. Give us a countdown, Joel.
2, 3, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
Rich, can you just go suck it?
Big O!
Yeah!
Showtime!
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a link it bad. But the show link, go direct to DLNGS.org. And the IC channel is a LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 832 of the Linux Link Tech Show. Tonight we have on the show Pat.
How's it going, man? Is that really Trolls? The Trolls?
Yeah, yes, it is.
Is?
Yes,
oh my god.
It's been years. I got an email from him the past week.
That's awesome.
And it's great because I was going to ask him if he wanted to come on the show, but then he just showed up, which is really cool. So no, that is really good. He's there. And we also have.
And listening.
Yes, and we have Joel. You heard him right there.
Good evening.
Flying Rich.
Hey, from the Hughes Outpost Orlando Command.
And Joe.
Hello.
And yeah, so Trolls is around. I don't have much more to say because we didn't really talk much, but he's there, so if he wants to ever jump in, I mean, he can do that. I was going to say, you know, unfortunately, I was hoping to get to this, but I didn't. And there's a new release of Fedora.
Fedora 31. I downloaded it. Haven't done anything with the ISO yet.
Yeah, I didn't upgrade this machine yet, but I did upgrade the other, my Ubuntu one, to the latest. So that went without a problem, and it wasn't running just fine.
Yep. I did download that. We talked a little bit about the Centio Superbook, which is a device that runs the, basically you plug your phone into it and it'll use the Centio desktop. Well, on a whim, I bid on one on eBay and I won it. It should be here tomorrow. It was supposed to be here today, but apparently it's on the slow FedEx truck from Texas where the winner was. But, when I did some investigation and come to find out that if you have basically the same dock you need, to use, the Dex desktop on the Note 10 Plus on, other screens, if you have that plus a HDMI dummy, you can actually plug that whole setup into the Centio PowerBook or SuperBook. I want to call it PowerBook, but it's SuperBook. But you can basically plug the phone in to the dock, add the HDMI dummy, which is like $6, to the dock, and then it will put Dex on the screen versus the Centio application. So we'll have to see if it actually works. I got the variant I won was the 1080p TPS display with the touchscreen on it. And through some of my research after I won the auction, I've also kind of found out that's probably going to be the only one they ever make. Because apparently they're out of money and laid off a bunch of people. They still have their website up, though, and the app's still going.
Wait, where did you get this off of?
eBay.
Oh, when did this originally come out?
Last year.
Oh, so they don't make them anymore, right?
No, it's pretty much it.
And how much did you get it for?
$65 plus shipping.
How much did they originally sell for?
$200. That's what they kickstarted them for, and this would be the only way I'd ever buy anything on Kickstarter anymore ever since the Aspen Hybrix thing I bought.
So what you're gonna do is you're gonna wait till they go out of business, then buy it on eBay. Is that it? You're not gonna buy
not
it
exactly,
before.
But yeah.
That works.
So, that's what I did anyway. So even further, I was doing some other research. You can actually plug a Pi into this too and have it work. So because it's essentially a display link device. So And further on display link, I actually loaded up the display link drivers, and the screen I usually have plugged into my work laptop's Thunderbolt dock, I plugged it into my Linux laptop, and I've got two screens right now, and it works pretty good. I had to make some changes in the desktop settings. Well, put it this way. I made the change in KDE, then logged out of that, and then logged back into straight GNOME, and it worked fine. So, and it had to do with basically changing the compositor from OpenGL to XRender, and now it was fine, because without that, the screen and the mouse pointer was just flickering and moving all over the place, and it was just not... It worked, but it was annoying to use, but once I changed that, it was perfect. So,
go ahead, Joe.
Have you noticed any extra overhead with the display link monitor?
Everything's working fine. I got a browser open, on a full on my main screen, and I got, IRCs over on my right screen, and I don't know where the mumble's at, but it doesn't really matter. Because I just have to hit the buttons, but...
Wait, you're using it right now?
Yeah.
And with your Linux laptop?
Yep.
Not your phone. So when you hooked it up with the Linux laptop, did it just detect it like a standard, like another display?
Yeah, essentially, yeah, it did. You had to
Once you install the drivers.
You had to install the drivers from the Display Link website, correct. There's a bunch of drivers
in...
No. Technically, I assume it's probably a binary blob, not the greatest thing in the world, but at least it works.
Was it Ubuntu package, or did you have to compile?
Actually, it wasn't. It was a script. You have to have things like, basically, if you just install DKMS, which is the dynamic kernel, bandwidth system.
Okay.
But basically, when you install DKMS, it installs everything you need to compile. The drivers and stuff like that. So it installs GCC if it wasn't already installed, and it installs, the kernel packages, all that junk. And then you run the script it comes with, and it basically builds the kernel driver for your kernel, and then installs it, and you're good. So, it doesn't work too bad. You really don't notice a difference. And that's not using the Centio PowerBook, but that's using the, Centio SuperBook, I should say. That's using just the USB AOC display I have, that I've had for years. One of these days I need to get like an upgraded version of it, because this one's not even 1080p. But.
So, when you connect, you connect it there, it's just the display, right? You can't actually use the mouse and keyboard too, can you?
Well, I can use the mouse and keyboard. The way I have things set up with the laptop now, it's just, you know, it's just a screen. The AOC screen I have is just a screen. Well, when I connect it with the phone, I'll be able to use either the touchpad.
No, I get that. I was just curious when you connect it like that with the laptop and Linux, is the mouse and keyboard on the Centio functional for?
I'll have to try that with an actual Linux box. I know that will happen with the Raspberry Pi. This is a completely different screen. It also happens to be Display Link, so it's not the same thing. I don't have the Centio yet. It should be here tomorrow.
So wait, how did you connect it to the? So you this have USB just... out to USB-C.
No, the screen I have is a USB 3 screen. So it's the standard USB A ends on it. And then the other side's a USB 3 connector in the back of the screen.
Where is that connector in the screen?
It's on the back of it.
That's on the SuperBook, right?
No, that's on the AOC. It's the 16 something, I don't know.
Oh, wait, I thought you were saying you were connecting your laptop into the SuperBook. Yeah, this is
no, it might, I don't know. I don't know if it'd work or not on that, but the Centio SuperBook is essentially, it is a Display Link device as well, but I have another Display Link device that I'm using with my laptop tonight.
Okay,
it's like a $100 USB screen.
What did you post that? A link to that screen?
I'll post the link to the screen here in a minute.
I would like to see the screen. And how much was that? $100?
Yeah, it's between $80 to $100. Yeah, okay. Somewhere around there.
And you use that, and that's what you're talking about. You're hooking your Raspberry Pi to, right?
Well, no, I'm hooking it up to my laptop. But the Sentio, you can hook up the a Pi to it.
Oh, and you have not tried that yet.
I have not tried any of that yet with the Sentio Power Superbook because I don't have it yet. So.
Okay, because I'd be interested in seeing how, learning how that works too.
Yes, me too.
Interesting. All right. So you give it, you give the Sentio, that connects in through the USB, right? That's not Bluetooth when you're using the phone.
Yes, correct. Yeah, the Sentio, you just hook it up to a USB-C dock. Actually, you can just use a USB-C cable, the USB-C cable to fire up the Sentio desktop, which is their own application that you install on your phone. But if you have the dock, you can also, if you have a USB-C dock that has HDMI in as well, and you put an HDMI dummy on it, then it'll work with DeX. But I put the link to the monitor that I'm using today in the IRC, and that's the exact model I have. At least from that's the AOC link to it. I'll see if I can find it on the Amazon. They're handy to have.
With your Sentio, when you have the phone plugged into it, the phone display is shut off, isn't it?
I don't know. I think so.
I mean, you can't use both this and the phone display, can you?
Probably not.
Can you initiate a phone call from the Sentio?
I think so. I think you can. Hmm. The screen I've had for years is actually $89 on Amazon still.
Oh, nice. Now, the only thing I don't like about, like, Sentio sounds really cool, but my only concern about that is like, right now, it still works, right?
If it's but broken.
But the company's, like, almost gone. So what happens when they're gone and they put out a new version of Android that no longer works with this? That's going to suck.
Which may be sooner than later in the case of my Galaxy Note.
Well, what a bummer.
Well, it's another one of those Kickstarter companies, you know. And they get money dumped into them. Because, let's face it, that's actually a great idea. It's been a great idea because Motorola tried it with the Atrix. But, yeah.
Wait, what's a great idea? This device here? The Sentio-type device?
I think so.
I don't disagree with you, but apparently nobody else does. Because you can't get one of these to stay alive.
I know. Well, that happened to the Atrix too. I mean, and that's come. I mean, I don't know. And this is before my Linux time. But have you ever read Bill Gates' books, The Road Ahead?
I don't. No, I didn't read that one.
It was a long. I think it's probably 95.
Yeah, I remember it.
Right. But in there, he basically talks about kind of like a device like, I mean, here's sitting here, you're holding a phone in your hand. My Galaxy Note 10 has what, 8 cores in it? So it's like, are you kidding me? It's like, you know, I don't know, man. But, you know, it's like you should be able to do more with your phone than you can today in a lot of cases, especially since they're adding all this stuff to it. Like for example, there was a iOS 13.2 came out this week, and there is a I don't think you actually have to change anything. It just does this automatically. When you're taking pictures in like medium light situations, you know, where it's not bright but it's not low light, but it's kind of in the middle. It takes something like, when you press that button, it takes something like 8 different pictures and then fuses them together. They call it like a photo fusion or something like that. And then makes it a better picture than if it just took one frame off the sensor. So you know, and the same thing really happens with the Galaxy Note 10 Plus camera. Like, for example, you can take the food picture mode. There's a live focus mode where basically you can have it such that the subject is in focus, but the background isn't. You can even have it take the background completely out of your pictures with the camera. So, I mean, and that's a lot of power that you have in your hand. You should be able to use that to do typical desktop-style things.
Well, my Note 8 does that. What are you talking about?
Right.
There's no magic.
I know. I'm not saying it's magic. I'm just saying that there's power there in our phones that we should be able to use just like we do on our normal laptop or desktop that the phone interface kind of locks up. That's why I think devices like the Centio Superbook and then prior to that the Atrix, and then there was also a Palm one, I think the Redbook, I think. I cannot remember, but there's a whole bunch of different things that have come up that tried to do this, you know. Or you get devices like...
What was that one that you had your phone and then you slid it into a tablet and then you could slide that into
another... That was an Asus phone.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what it was called.
That wasn't a Transformer, was it?
No. I think so.
Asus Zen phone?
Maybe.
And keep in mind, some of those never made it here to the States either.
Oh, the Padfone X. That's what it was.
That's it. Yep. I just found it too. Yeah, I mean, you know, that to me makes sense. Now, what doesn't make sense is how much, like, Asus and others wanted to charge you for that accessory. As much as just buying another device, so you might as well just buy another device. You know, like for example, if you got a phone, just buy an Android tablet, like a Samsung tablet, or whatever. You know, or an iPad for that matter. Oh goodness. If you don't care about the stuff we care about sometimes, but.
Right. If it was lower cost just to get that screen, then that would be one thing. But if you're paying, yeah, like, for two devices, the problem gets to be if your phone breaks, guess what? You're out two devices.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nah, you just buy a new one, man, to fit right back in there.
Well, and that's actually why I think the Centio Superbook way of doing it is better than what the Atrix and the others do, because it's not specific to the phone. You can plug any Android phone into it. And that's actually a key. That's the only kind of caveat. If you have an iPhone, you can't plug it into it and have it work. It just doesn't work that way. But it does, any Android phone can support it. So, yeah. You know, and that's kind of the device in the road ahead that Bill Gates had wrote years ago. That's kind of one of his ideas that he had back then, was to have a small thing. It would be like something you have with you all the time, your phone, and you would just plug it into things, and it would do basically act as your everything. It's your laptop, it's your desktop, it's your watching movies on, you know, your set-top box, you know. Things like that. In fact, I'm noticing nowadays, like, I remember, like when 4G was just coming out, to smartphones, I remember when when you'd buy a phone and sometimes there would even be a micro HDMI, port on it where you just buy the cable and plug it into your TV and you can use it on your TV. That's not the case anymore.
Well, wait, the, Droid Bionic had the micro HDMI cable on.
That's true.
And I'll tell you, I was out of town. I was super surprised. I'm talking to my wife, and she's like, oh, yeah, I'm watching Netflix on the TV in the bedroom. I'm like, how are you doing that? She's like, well, I got Netflix on the Droid Bionic, and I just plugged it into the TV. I'm like, no frickin' way. I'm like, yep. She didn't ask me how to do it. I was so shocked when she came up with that.
Wait, she has a Droid Bionic?
Well,
not anymore.
I mean, Yeah, I got mine in the drawer. Hers is probably kicking around too. But what?
I thought you meant this was recently. This was a while ago. Right?
No. This is back in the day.
Oh, okay.
But the Droid Bionic was absolutely the worst phone I ever owned.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, the first 4G phones were awful. They just were. I mean, you know, as time went on, they've gotten better. That's why. Now that's what some people were comparing 5G phones, like my Note 10 Plus is a 5G phone because that's the version I bought, and that's also what Google said, why Google used it as an excuse why they're not putting it in the Pixel, is that they say 5G is not ready yet, and they want to wait until different chipsets come out for phones that are better supported, a little bit more stable.
That weren't made by the government of China.
Probably.
Why didn't you like the Droid Bionic, Rich? I had one of these.
The Droid Bionic, it sucked the battery power down. I don't remember fluently what was wrong with it, but I remember the battery didn't last worth a crap.
It launched with Android 2.3 and is upgradable all the way up to 4.1, and then unofficially you can put Android 7.1 via Lineage OS on it.
Wait, was that one where you couldn't replace the battery easily?
Nope. No, you could.
No, it had a replaceable battery. Back then in 2011, they all did.
My Note 4 has a replaceable battery, so...
No, correct. The reason why I say that, because I had my one work phone was a Droid Bionic, and I ran into a problem with it, and I remember having to disassemble it to try and get it to... I think it was a display, or I forget exactly what it was, that it was just having problems, and I thought it was a battery, and it was such a pain in the ass to work with that battery.
A few seconds, you have the battery out.
It was a pain in... I'm trying to remember what it was. I don't remember what it was then. I just remember I was able to get it to a point where I can use it so that I can get the multi-factor codes off of there.
Mm-hmm.
And then switch the other applications I had to my other phone so I can get rid of it before it finally died.
Yep.
Wow. But
those were good ideas. So, I mean, you know, we'll see.
We shall see, but before it gets too far away, we have the man, the myth, and the legend. He's actually in the channel right now. It's Trolls. And he can say hi if his microphone works.
I am Vengeance. I am the Knight. I am Batman.
Holy moly.
Holy crap.
You like sound the same, but not. You sound like a lot older.
That's because we are a lot older, Dan.
Yeah, no kid. What the heck time is it over there?
I can do the voice if you want.
You got to be close to like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, right?
Actually, it's 2:10.
2:10, and you don't have to work tomorrow?
No, I don't have a job at the moment.
Oh,
but actually, you know what's actually funny about that? Like 10 years ago, I think it must have been when I last listened. The show used to start my time at 2:30, so it's actually slightly easier now.
Oh wait, did we start later? I think we did.
Wow. Yeah, you used to start at 2:30.
Man.
Mm. Trust me, I would know because I was the one who had to get up at 2:30 in the morning to listen.
So what
guys, because I remember roaming around Chicago listening to the download before, this is before I was even on the show, listening to you and who was Stank with you? I can't remember. But somebody was with you on the show when these guys took a week off.
No, it wasn't Stank, dog. It was, wasn't it Jay Rulo?
No, I don't know if it was him or not. But let's face it, we are older.
So what are you getting up to, Trolls?
That's a long story. Well, speaking of getting old, just a little over a month ago, I turned 31. So, and I still remember Pat congratulating me on my 18th birthday. So, you know, it's been a while.
31.
Yeah.
You're not old yet.
Yeah.
Well, I do feel like that sometimes. And let me tell you guys a funny story about that. I used to, just a couple of years ago, I used to work at my old public school. as the, you know, the resident IT guy. And the thing about it is that most schools over here are like infested with iPads. So, and you know, at home, students and would have one of them in their hands when they're like 4 or 5, even before they start school. And then in the early years at school, they would only use this and not a PC. So when they get to like, 7th year, they actually don't know how to use a PC. The teachers would have to teach them to do so, even the most basic things. And what I would notice is that when I would have to help them during the exams, what I noticed is that a lot of the students just took a window, like say Microsoft Word, maximized it on their screen, and then got all confused when I said to them, "You just put your text program next to your web browser, and it'll be easier, so you can read what you need to read and." Right at the same time, and they were like, how do I do that? Can I even do that? And then I realized the reason they were maximizing the programs on their screen was because that's what you do with an iPad. It only shows a single program, at least until recently.
So are you saying Apple products make you stupider?
Precisely. So, and I was... Well, I was really flabbergasted about this because when I was at this school, because I attended this school when I was a child, we would be using like old Windows 95 PCs in like the 2nd year. So, and what that did is that when we were at the 6th year of school, everybody, even the most untechnically interested girls in the classroom, would know
sex, tech shaming, mansplaining.
Mansplaining. Well, we Danes have a tendency to be blunt. So even among the guys, even the ones who were like total dumbasses, even they would have an idea of how to use a mouse and so on. So I feel old at times. At least I did when I was helping out with these exams, mm-hmm. because I was like, you know,
I know the test. There's a test on how you know when you're old. You know when you're old is when you moan when you get up. When you move, you make that, that's when you're
old. I just thought you were going to say something else, but, you know, we're alive, so. So I guess it has to be, what, PG-13 or something?
Oh, it doesn't.
Yeah. It doesn't matter on our show.
It's okay as long as you only make Joel curse.
How long did you work for the school that you went to?
Let's see. I did an internship there for a few months, and I was employed in early 2015, and I quit officially in about, what would this be, maybe 27 months later. So I stopped in March 2017.
Oh. That was probably an interesting experience, wasn't it? Going back to work with the teachers that you used to.
Yeah, but you know, there's always a challenge with that because the thing about it, you know, let's just say, and now I'm going to, you know, walk into that zone. The thing about it is when you go in and you see your former teachers, the issue with it is, you end up having a crush on one of them eventually. At least I did. So that was a little bit of a challenge there.
Just the female teachers or the male teachers also?
Well, given my orientation, it would be only the female teachers. But the funny part is, in regard to the male teachers, is that I knew all their, you know, embarrassing moments from years past. So I was talking to one of them, like my former math teacher in 6th year, and I was telling him about something he did, and he was like, "Don't tell anyone," which was really amusing. I have a friend in Greece, and he's half Russian. If it was him working there, he would have, you know, just used whatever he could get on them to, you know, get things done, you know, to manipulate people. Although I didn't quite do that. I just made jokes.
So I didn't have a crush on any of my teachers, Trolls, but when I ended up having like my second grade teacher, when I went back to work at the school district I went to, my second grade teacher was still there, and she had a daughter that was the same age as my youngest daughter, my oldest daughter, sorry. It was like six, not even six, like three or four at the time.
Where's this going?
And it was just like, it was weird, but that's my second grade teacher. So she must have been like 21 when I was in second grade, and like her youngest daughter was my oldest daughter's age at that time, and they were in the same like preschool and daycare together, which was like really weird. And we went to a birthday party and stuff. Wow.
Well, there's a simple explanation for that, or at least one explanation. She just went cougar.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say that. I mean, like I said, she was really young when she was my teacher. And so she really wasn't that old. She was like in her late 30s when I was in there. So it was a fun time, good times. Working for a school district is like a completely different world.
Yeah.
And
you know, the funny thing was that I would make jokes with the students sometimes to sort of make a point. And like with the boys, I would sometimes make porn jokes. Like, for example, if one of them, because it was the way I worked, it was like if someone had a problem with their computer, be it a school provided machine or like something they brought from home, if they had a problem, they would come ask me. So sometimes the boys would come and ask me like, why can't I save my stuff? And it was usually because they had installed too many games on there. But then I sometimes would ask them, do you have a video collection or something like that? And then they would immediately know what I meant.
Do you have a lot of problems with that?
Who, me?
No, that's school district with the students with, trying to download and watch porn on the.
Not so much because I don't think. Dan, you just showed you're old too, because people don't download stuff anymore. People go to Pornhub.
Well, that's what I mean. I didn't know if they were like, because you had said the video collection, but I guess they could just go to Pornhub on those things. Yeah. They weren't blocked from doing that, were they?
I don't know, actually. Not off the top of my head. Pornhub might have been, but I don't actually think it was. But you know, these filters, it's like what they do in England. It's useless. You can always get around them. I was actually explaining that to a father I was talking to, where I was setting up his daughter's computer because I tried to help the parents out too. And then he said, is there a way to, you know, block all this stuff, you know, that my, you know, 9-year-old is not supposed to see? And then I said to him, you know, first of all, it won't work with Chrome. That's the first thing. And secondly, it's not going to do anything in any case. So you might as well just, you know, take the proper route and just explain to your daughter, if you see something like that, close it. Don't look at it or something like that. Because that's really what's going to end up working, because you can't filter this stuff, especially not now. You might have been able to 20 years ago, but certainly not now. So,
It was just games then, right? They probably shit those computers up with games.
Actually, you know, on just when I got there, the way it worked is that if parents either refused to, you know, buy their child a computer, or they couldn't afford it, the school would have to lend them one. And the ones they lent them when I got there were these terribly slow ThinkPads, and they were terribly slow because the Windows build that the local government would provide was just terribly slow. Not necessarily because it was a government machine, but just because it was this terribly thing, you know, one size fits all type of build where you put all kinds of programs into it that has to work on everything from a fast machine to a slow machine. So it was sometimes take 15 minutes just to boot up. And, so sometimes I would, you know, see what the students were doing, and they had installed Steam on there.
Yeah. So it was,
and you know, with Steam, it's just, you know,
boy,
just right click install, and there you had, you know, Counter-Strike Global Offensive.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what is actually disappointing about that? It's that, that's not even that impressive. Because when I was at this school, I discovered something really, really funny and actually really interesting. Back then they ran Windows 98 and they had a server at the school somewhere. And then every student had like a local folder. Only problem is none of those folders were password protected, and nor were the some of the system folders on the server. So what some of the older students figured out was that if you could get something onto the server by just, you know, going to, you know, the start menu and then going to run and then typing the path in manually, it would be available on every single client machine. So they installed Quake 1 on the server. And then on every single machine at the server, they could just go to start, run, type in the full path for the Quake executable, and it would start up Quake over the LAN. Now, load the game and play the game over the LAN. So one guy, you know, would be sitting at one end of the school and another at the other end, where the older student was, and they would sit there playing Quake on the school breaks. And then eventually what eventually of course happened is that, you know, they would tell some of their classmates in the ninth year, who would tell it to a friend in eighth year, who would tell it to a friend in seventh year. And eventually got all the way down to me in like, I think fourth year. So like one day when I had caused trouble and I got sent outside the classroom, I went down to the library, school library, and say, I gotta have to try.
Is this when you're working there?
No, this is a student.
Hey, we used to, play Doom on our network, when I worked for the college a long time ago. And we claimed we were testing the network.
Well, you were. Actually, true. you were testing the latency because, you know, gaming is latency dependent. So.
Yep. And Descent and all those games. Yeah, we played all that. We played Hexen too. Remember that one?
Oh, that's a classic.
Yep. But yeah, I mean, and now we've just explained why tablets and Chromebooks are the de facto machines that our kids get to use in K through 12.
So they can install Steam on them?
No, so they can't.
You know, if easily. It was actually a little bit disappointing because these student machines, they actually were not locked, so you could actually install Steam on them without, you know, just by installing it. And, that was actually just a little bit disappointing. I was actually, you know, like, man, that's not impressive, because if they had found a security flaw and then installed it, I would actually be impressed. I would actually think, right. Hey, that's actually nicely done. So, because that's what the older students did in my day at this school as a student. So, you know, it was rather disappointing. So eventually what I ended up doing when the HIT teacher found out how qualified I was within my field, I eventually, because the teachers were complaining how slow and unreliable these Windows machines were, I eventually, you know, replaced them all with Linux machines. So, and that was a few years before they introduced Chromebooks. So.
Yep. Well, it was worse too, initially with the mobile devices, but like when I got my new work phone, I have the iPhone 11 for my cell phone for work, and right at the top of in one of the setting screens, it says, this phone's managed by your company.
Hmm. Right.
So they actually have a program on there. I think it's called, Mass 360, which is actually an IBM program.
I see.
So they, if for some reason I do something really bad and get fired, they can remotely, erase my phone.
Oh yeah.
So they can do the same thing with my laptop, I do believe, but the control systems they have now are so much better than they had back then, for sure.
Is this where I make a channeling of Richard Stallman?
Yeah. Essentially, well, I mean, and you know, Stallman, well, we already know what happened to him, but.
Silence.
That's probably the best way to respond to it right now.
Well, what I was just thinking is, you know, it's the whole thing about having control over the computer you're using and all this stuff. It's a different world. Let's put it that way. I was listening to Edward Snowden was on the Joe Rogan podcast recently, and it was interesting to listen to.
I'm sorry, I missed you. What did you say?
I was just saying that Edward Snowden was on Joe Rogan's podcast a week ago.
Yeah, he's been making rounds to a couple places.
Yeah.
But
yep.
So, do you still use a lot of Linux?
Oh, yeah. I still use OpenSUSE.
Whoa! Nobody uses that anymore, do they?
I don't know. I do.
That's not true. I'm sure a lot of people.
Who owns it now? Somebody different owns it now.
Actually, what happened is that Novell got bought by some capital firm or something like that. And then the SUSE got spun out as its own, you know, independent business unit. And then it eventually got sold again. But it's actually, you know, I think it's some Swedish person who owns it now.
Well, SUSE Linux was the basis of ESXi.
Yeah.
I think VMware is doing their own version now, but
I was going to say, that sounds like a long time ago.
And, you know, their appliances, whatever appliances they had, I'm sorry, maybe I have it wrong. The appliances that they have in Linux were based on OpenSUSE, and a couple of years ago that changed.
I see. Yeah, that could be. But to answer Dan's question, yeah, I still, Dan, you would remember this. Do you remember back like 10 years ago when I had like 20 computers in my room?
I vaguely.
Vaguely. Basically, I got rid of all the desktops and just bought a whole lot of laptops. basically, I collect old ThinkPads. And, well, yeah, why would I install Windows on those?
Are they all running OpenSUSE?
Well, no, not all of them.
We got a variety.
Yeah, actually, let me see. Let's see here. Actually, let me give you a step back a little bit. I actually run my, as I say, I don't have a job right now, and I'm looking for a job, but I also run my own consulting company on the side. And basically, I have a mini data center in my house for that.
Just like Rich has one in his drawer.
Put it this way, this is more than a drawer. basically it runs a whole lot of FreeBSD, and I think there's like one Debian machine in there, and there's a bunch of CentOS VMs. And then on my, I have two ThinkPads that I use to control the thing, and that those run OpenSUSE. My main workstation runs OpenSUSE, and actually it might well just be OpenSUSE everywhere. Pretty much, yeah. So yeah, I'm still a big Linux user. Especially after Windows 10, I couldn't foresee not being. So, and actually, this was funny. You know, Pat and Dan used to take the Mickey out of me, like, you know, 12 years ago, because I was such a fan of OpenSUSE. But you know, that's actually something I'm a bigger fan of today. Even though I still like OpenSUSE, I'm actually huge fan of ZFS. That's like,
yep.
You know, you get me started on that, I'll be talking about that for 10 hours.
Are you using ZFS on OpenSUSE, or are you using it primarily on the FreeBSD?
Primarily on FreeBSD. I run ZFS on my private storage machine. I have a dedicated storage machine that runs it. And then actually in my my company servers, everything runs FreeBSD pretty much except one machine. But that one machine that runs Linux is a Debian machine. It's basically a VM host, and that runs Debian with CFS.
Cool.
Yep.
Yeah, the reason I chose Debian for that is because they put the CFS packages in their in the contrib repository. Because I like Debian's approach with that, because they use the DKMS packages for it, so it's easy to get a new version in via backports.
Well, did you see Ubuntu 19.10? You can install Ubuntu root on a ZFS volume now.
Yeah, I did see that. It's interesting. It's interesting how you know what's actually funny about that. They must get into a little bit of trouble with the kernel developers over that, because some of the kernel developers still have a let's say they are bitter about having any Sun code near the Linux kernel.
Self-explanatory on that, yeah. Considering who owned Sun now at the moment.
Actually, you know what's actually funny about that is that when Oracle bought Sun, they closed down OpenSolaris, and thus any future Oracle version of ZFS was no longer open source. But what happened was that FreeBSD and some the continuation of OpenSolaris, the Illumos project, and other people basically took the last ZFS version and, you know, created what's called OpenZFS, and it's basically a hell of a lot better than what Oracle is doing, which is interesting.
Why is Oracle? We have Oracle virtualization at work. Why is everything Oracle touches? It's like the reverse Midas touch. What is wrong with
old rich asshole called Larry Ellison?
There you go.
He's Iron Man. What are you talking about?
I thought that was Elon Musk.
No, Ellison was in all the Iron Man
movies.
Yeah,
he was in the movies, wasn't he?
He was. Yeah.
Hello, Pat.
Well, hey, Elon was too.
Charles, it's nice hearing from you, man. We missed it.
Glad to hear it. Actually, on that note, I've actually been thinking about getting in touch for like a year or two, but you know, as I said to Dan in that email I sent to him, the trials and tribulations of life had sidetracked me. But actually, there was actually one funny thing. Last summer in 2018, I actually got an email just out of the blue from Riddlebox, if you remember him.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. He was. Well, oh, that's right. He was one of the other guys that you did the show when we took that break.
Right.
Yeah, Riddlebox, yeah.
Yeah. He basically asked how I was doing, and then we, you know, had a short email exchange, and then basically he went quiet because I guess he was busy. And then I didn't hear from him. And then I just, you know, poked him I think 2 weeks ago or something like that. And just, you know, because it was not 2 weeks ago. That was wrong. It was, I talked to him in the chat just a few days ago. So, It's been interesting. Sometimes I've checked the website and I noticed the forum has been dead for like 2 years.
Yeah, and that died when, well, the problem with the forum was when I lost everything over here. I managed
lost
to get
everything?
We had a storm that came through, what, 2015 or something? I think it was a couple years ago, and it got so bad, like the wind and everything was so bad that it came in through a window, like the crack in the back porch area where the back porch stuff is, and it like came right in and went across the ceiling in the basement there for a little bit, and then dripped down on all my computers and stuff. So I lost a bunch of equipment. Well, I was able to get the files off. What's that?
Oh, you mean flooding?
No, it was just, it didn't flood that much, but it was so bad, like the wind and the rain was so heavy and bad that It actually came in places it never came in before, and came in with such force that it started running across the ceiling here in the basement. Like, it didn't run too far. It ran out enough, like a foot or so, that it ended up just pouring down on where I had my servers. Because they were in like one of the drier areas of the the only thing that ever happens in here is you get a little bit of water on the floor and it comes down in some of the cracks, but this was just insane. So when I managed to transfer over the files and get them off, the old SCSI drives that were in there, I have the forum files and the database and everything, but for some reason now, it just won't. It's having a problem, and I haven't spent the time to go in there and figure it out. And I keep meaning to do it, and I keep putting it off.
That old, you know, tendency is to procrastinate, eh, Dan?
Yeah, no, it's...
Judging by the error it's giving, it's basically the location of the MySQL socket, the Unix socket for the server.
Yeah, and I gotta look at it again. There's like some weird thing where like the configuration for it is not just in a file, it's somewhere in the database, and it's such a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
And that's the way it goes. Well, were you looking for something specific on the forum?
No, I was just, you know, checking in from time to time to see how you guys were doing.
Yeah, so we gotta, our forum needs to be fixed, and we should probably do some work on the website. You know, that should be updated at some time.
We'll save that for year 20, right?
Yeah, it's getting,
we're not that far away from it. what year did you start, Dan? I forget. Was it 2003? No, it was later than that.
The first show was actually on my birthday in 2003.
Yeah, it was 2003.
Okay, all right.
24th of September.
Dude, 2023. This show will be working for 20 years. Jesus.
That's right.
Oof. Who we need to make it to at least that, right, Dan?
That's it.
So, yeah, basically it's been a long story in terms of where I've been, but, you know, it's, some things have been good, some things have been not so good.
That's life, man.
Yep.
That's the way it goes. Life.
Yeah. You know what's funny? You guys know that movie, The Last of the Mohicans?
Yeah. I haven't seen it in a long time.
Yeah, I haven't either, but basically the title sums up how how my life is doing at the moment, because when I look at all my former classmates from school and stuff, all of them have kids at this point, where I'm just a guy with his laptops still. So it's one of those things where sometimes life feels frozen a bit. But
don't rush it. My son's now 20 years old, and I remember listening to some of the first tech shows when he was 4 and 5. So I mean,
there you go. Yeah.
And same thing. And Dan, your daughter she's getting ready to graduate college soon, isn't she?
No, she actually, what happened is, and I don't think I ever mentioned this, is after her second year, she did not like what she was doing, so she stopped. I thought I said all this. I thought I talked.
I don't remember that.
You might have, but yeah.
So what happened was, like, she decided that this wasn't for her, right? So she stopped.
That sounds expensive.
Well, it really wasn't. She kind of really lucked out because she had a scholarship, and so she elected not to continue with it, and she didn't have to pay it back. So it was, you know, it's one of those things where if
she got her credit,
you know, so she still has, like, she left everything where it was with grace. She had like a straight A's and stuff like that. And she took a year off, and now she's going back to school, for biology related courses. I think she's looking at doing straight biology, although I don't know if she's going to go into something medical. She doesn't know yet, but she's back in school now.
Is that as opposed to gay biology? She's doing straight biology?
No, I meant like I think she's just going to do biology, get a degree in biology, not like start with the biology courses and then go on to medical. I think she's going to do a degree in biology and then go on to further education and more in the medical field with stuff. But that's where she's at right now.
Nice.
Well, that's good.
But you know, she don't live at home.
Do you thank the Air Force every day, Dan, when you look at your bank account?
So, yes, I do. I do. I think she does too. But.
Yeah, the good thing is she's probably got most of her gen ed out of the road, so she's not wasting time. She got all those English classes. You know, there's things you're supposed to take to be a well-rounded person, you know?
Yeah, she's taking it easy. Like, she's not in school full-time because she's working and her fiancé is like, he's in an internship and he's going for a master's level courses. The internship that he was with has hired him. So it's a paid internship, but he's kind of like working for them too. So I don't know if it's still considered an internship, but it was a paid internship, but he's doing master's level courses now. And so she's doing like a couple of biology and chemistry courses and stuff, as well as like she's taking fun courses like art, painting and stuff like that, which she loves to do. But anyway, that's
right. I remember talking about the bamboo with her, on our show with her, the bamboo pad.
Yeah, she does really good stuff, but she's 21 now. So.
Yep.
She's old troll. She's 10 years younger than you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we got a Linux Fest this weekend here in Columbus where I live. And,
That's
the Ohio Linux Fest.
Oh yes, I remember that.
So yes, I'll be going probably, like I mentioned, like kind of in the pre-show, I live here and when you have family trolls, it's a difficult, you know, especially when you're in the same place as the show. People think, you know, your family tends to think, well, you're here, so you should be here, right? You know, but, you know, it's not the case. So, I have to, I'm probably just going to go down long enough, to see maybe a talk or two in the morning on Saturday, have lunch at the North Park, and then head back home.
Commitments, man, commitments.
That's why I like going to Southeast Linux Fest versus going to Ohio Linux Fest better, mostly because when I'm at Southeast Linux Fest, I don't have to worry about it, especially if they don't come with me. And they didn't the last 2 years.
Right.
Jolet, who's keynote?
I know Ricky's doing one of them, Ricky Ensley. Amber Grainer is speaking there again. The first one is the talk that she's giving. Well, I can't see this one because it's when I am working, called Zeek and Ye Shall Find, Introduction to Zeek, an open source network monitoring project. Which I had never heard of Zeek before, but.
How do you spell that?
Z-E-E-K. Or okay, yeah. Z-E-E-K. Yes. Friday night, John Mad Dog Hall is doing a keynote, this look called Let's Finish This. So he's like, looks like the last talk. Well, I don't know why, but they scheduled some other talks against John Mad Dog Hall on Friday. Why? Cause you know, there won't be anybody there. There's a puppet talk. By Stephen Pritchard and one called hashtag get off my lawn. Same guy. Actually, he's got three in Union B. Vim, Puppet, and, get off my lawn. I'm trying to think if Let's Finish This may not be a keynote per se. It might just be a birds of a feather, I think. I would have loved to have, Beth Lynn Eicher on, but, she was on the, Sunday morning Linux review. So if you want a good kind of preview of the show, I would definitely give that show a listen. I need to actually ping, I know Tony's coming. I need to ping him and see, we can meet up for lunch Saturday. And Saturday's opening keynote is Ricky Ensley. How will you steer your open source career? And the last keynote for the show at 6 o'clock Saturday is 50 years of Nix, why it is important, and where do we go from here by John Mad Dog Hall. And Mad Dog hasn't been here in a couple of years, so.
Yeah, I haven't seen Mad Dog in a while. He was fun to drink with.
Speaking of getting old.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why, like, back when, you hosted some of those shows, Trolls, when they took their break back in, I think it was 07, I think it was, I was actually remember listening to you sitting on the subway platform in Chicago, but I was taking classes, to basically, learn the stuff I need to know. Knew back then when I worked for a college, and now I'm a consultant. No, actually not a consultant anymore. I'm a system admin. Cause I moved over. I initially was in professional services, but now I moved into a, cloud assurance team. So I work with the cloud assurance team, because probably one of the biggest, most common things is happening with people who bought our product, over the years. You have some people who are have been clients of my company for 30 years, and I'm 48, and most of the people I work with, except for a few that are on my team, which are relatively new to Colleague, which is the ERP system I'm an admin for, they average age is probably well over 40 now, and that's one big reason why there's this push to the cloud. It's because these colleges all around mostly the United States, a couple in Canada, but they have admins that are just getting old and aging out, so they're coming over to us and having us run it for them.
Right.
So that's why that's probably a lot of people don't think about that. That's probably one other huge reason why cloud technologies are taking off. Is that the people who've been taking care of those on-prem systems for years and years and years are retiring.
That's a good point.
So, yeah. So that's, yeah. I remember having a conversation with Facebook with one of my old bosses who's now retired himself, and I told him I foresee a future where no company that you'll know of will have their own data center. They'll have a their space they pay for on AWS or Azure or Linode or whoever.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually an interesting one here in Europe because, let's say, not so much here in Denmark, but especially in Germany, people are a lot more skeptical about using Amazon or the big American providers. So that's sometimes a little controversial.
Well, that brings back, brings to the word when you talk about monocultures and why having a monoculture with any kind of IT infrastructure is bad. And I seem to remember in the 90s there was a movie called The Net with Sandra Bullock, and everybody bought Gatekeeper. What happened in that movie? Yeah. Yeah, her whole life was taken away from her, you know. And I'm not saying that that can happen now. But good, Greybeard. Yeah, that's a really good point. As long as there'll be plenty of competition between cloud providers, he'll think we'll be okay. And I agree. I also foresee a problem where some companies are just buying stuff up, shutting them down. I mean, what happened to what I think? AST was bought by somebody years ago and now they're gone and so you got to see who makes computers. You got laptops, at least of the big companies. You got Dell, you got Lenovo, which is technically a Chinese company now. And then you've got
a Chinese company.
Well, Lenovo itself has, but you know they're making the IBM ThinkPad.
That's true.
So, but in any event, you know you got HP. There's no more Compaq.
Thank God.
Yeah, right. but you got Acer and Asus, and then you've got Apple. And that's pretty much it, at least for the well-known companies. You've got companies like System 76.
You also have some more regional ones. For example, in Japan, yeah. Sony's big.
Yeah. Well, the regional ones are starting to go away too, because I'm not seeing that many. Like back in the 90s, there was a whole bunch of different mom and pop shops around here where you can have them build you a system. I don't see them as much anymore.
That's true. I used to work for one of those back in 2013, and that was one that had been around. It was called Interdata, and that had been around for my God, like since 1993, and then they went out of business. The white box builders have basically been. They're hard to find, but actually they have actually sort of been making a little bit of a renaissance because of the popularity of esports and gaming, where people want their own custom machine. There's a little bit of a renaissance going on there.
Yeah, well, and now that you see most of the builders that are building machines nowadays, like you get ones like there's in the States we've got one called Puget Systems that's up over in Washington. They're building.
That's just because they're an Iron Man.
But you got Puget Systems. They build some fairly beefy like gaming systems. Then you got I don't know what the name of his company is, but Jace 2 Cents on YouTube. He builds fairly hefty gaming rigs too. And that's the only kind of what I would call like the old white box provider, which they're building systems for you.
Yeah.
That I see nowadays, like there used to be one here called Crazy Kenny's Computer Warehouse was here in Columbus.
Yeah.
that was the name of one of the companies, and then I bought a system off a company by the name of Computer Success, I'm trying to remember. I think at the time when I bought that system, they were. I don't think it was next to them at the time, but not long after I bought it, Micro Center moved their big store from Lane Avenue down by Ohio State campus all the way up to right next to where Computer Success was, which was probably the last desktop system I bought, I think. Unless you count the Gateway I bought when Gateway's gone too. But now Micro Center has their own brand, PowerSpec, and then Walmart's got iBuyPower, I think. I don't know if that's a Walmart brand or not, but there are some of the weirder brands, but they are more closer to like a Dell or someone like that. But and then you got companies like Librem, who build the systems that honor your privacy.
Yeah.
And phones too, with the Librem 5.
Have you guys heard of the Fairphone?
Fairphone.
Yeah. It's by a Dutch company.
No, then I don't. Is it available in the United States?
Actually, I don't know about that.
Well, then that's why we don't know about it.
Okay. Well, basically, it's you guys know like fair trade coffee. This is basically like a fair trade phone.
Right.
Okay.
And. I actually think that's a really interesting one. They just released version 3 here, and
do you have one?
No, but I'm thinking because my Nexus 6P is dying, the battery is like terrible. So I'm actually thinking about getting a Fairphone because I am just I'm still kicking myself over having bought a phone that doesn't have a replaceable battery. That is just a bugger.
There aren't a whole lot of phones with replaceable batteries anymore.
That's true. But this Fairphone, the Fairphone specifically has a modularized design where you can buy like a replacement camera and then you get a screwdriver with it when you buy it so you can easily install it yourself. It's actually, I actually really like that idea. So I might well try one of those. They're a little expensive, but it's certainly cheaper to buy one of those and then buy a new battery in 3 years than having to buy a whole new phone.
It'd certainly be easier for you where you are at, Trolls, than it would be for us here in the States, because a lot of times the carriers have a different spectrum.
Right. That's true. I actually don't know if it's available in the United States.
Yep. But a good example of that is I'm on Verizon, which is one of the larger, probably the largest carrier, I would think, in the United States, and probably one of the more expensive ones. The main reason I'm with them is that wherever I go, I've never had a problem with reception at all, even if I'm out in the boonies.
T-Mobile's probably the one that allows the most unlocked
Correct.
Phones. They're the most open out of them.
And they're being bought by, they're buying Sprint.
Yeah, so they're buying Sprint.
That actually has been authorized too. So, but then you got AT&T.
This is actually really, for a European, this is actually sort of a little bit of a strange conversation or topic because, I can go from Denmark and I can go to like the south of Germany and still have my phone work without a single issue. Even though Germany is a completely different country, completely different infrastructure, it still works.
There's a couple of reasons for that too. And I think, one of the ones is just the size of the main, European continent versus, the size of North American continent. The United States is not a small country. So,
Well, the think of it this way. If you put all the European, if you take the Eurozone, EU countries that use the Euro, if you take that as a single economy, it's actually larger than the United States.
I wouldn't doubt it, but.
What I meant to imply is that it seems that the United States has a much bigger problem with monopolies.
It's definitely more closed. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's more closed. I mean, there's like Verizon is a lot more locked down with what they allow on their network. The upside is they actually been getting better at that. I have not had the last three phones I've had from Verizon actually have gotten regular security updates and sometimes OS updates. My Pixel 2 that I just had, that phone has Android 10 on it. Or at least it did till I got rid of it. But
basically here in Europe we generally don't have this notion of locked
right.
phones anymore, and we don't and certainly not locked networks. I would actually it's because of EU regulations that basically force
right.
them to do this. And a couple of years ago, the EU passed a telecoms package of legislation that basically says that that it made it had a few years transition, but basically it forces the phone providers to not have roaming charges between countries. So basically, if I go to Germany, I can use a fairly significant portion of my data or other stuff in my phone subscription without additional charges. And basically the phone companies have had to sort of like integrate their systems a little bit so that it all works together. Because I think the problems you were describing, we had some of that like 10 or 15 years ago, but it's all gone now. And it's not so much because Europe is smaller, it's more just because of the laws here. It basically says that you can't have closed networks where people can't, interrupt.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, if you give me simply a quick example, we have, in Denmark specifically, we had, we used to have like 30 years ago, a big national phone monopoly. And basically, the way EU law works is that this big company as it is today, they basically have to allow other providers to use their networks. So in an American context, that would mean like a
roaming charges.
Not so much that. If we're talking, for example, for internet connectivity, if imagine like a smaller company in the U.S. being able to pay Verizon to use their network. And then,
well, they do that. And I think TracFone does that here in the United States. It's what we would call an MVNO.
Okay, so, fair enough. But basically, this is by law that you can't have a big, you know, you can't have basically have small islands of networks.
Right.
It's all integrated.
Mm-hmm. Now, so the only time I ever had a problem with my carrier currently, was in August. I went to Kelly's Island, which is an island in the middle of Lake Erie. Believe it or not, I was actually hitting cell towers in Canada from there.
Hmm.
So
that's interesting.
Yeah, in fact,
you got hit with roaming charges.
No, well, fortunately, it didn't really. When I'm roaming, at least the plan I currently have, I may be changing soon. But they would give you only so much when you're on the international networks for nothing. All right. So, but once you used it all, then you can get another gig for like $5 or something like that. So, and you can do it all on the phone. So, and I did that at least once when I was up there. But the speeds were horrible. It's an island in the middle of a lake, a big lake. So, I mean, you know, that I expected that. Yeah, it's funny. We're on the ferry coming back from our vacation, and you know, I get like within a few feet of shore, and all of a sudden my phone starts the speed is like increased like tenfold, you know, than it was on the island. But you know, that's you know, the American continent is just it's hard to do that. A lot of the things that that you can do over in Europe, some of it is our regulations, some of it, you know, because some states have different laws than other states, you know, like for example, it's not related to technology, but California passed a law that says their college athletes can profit from the use of their image in like video games and stuff like that, and that actually ended up changing the NCAA, which is the organization that manages that, changed their rules because of that, actually. So that's going to be a thing. So like NCAA football is going to probably come out again as a video game. It was won by EA Sports until many years ago when the NCAA cracked down. But that's just one example where it was different in all the states until one of the states changed it, and then they all did. So, plus, on the other side of that, too, where you're at, it's very easy for one tower to cover multiple countries, depending on where it's placed. Mm. Not as easy here in the United States, but...
I would say, that might be technologically possible, but it's...
Right. Oh, it's probably not common. No.
It's not common. Basically, how can I put this? Basically, we don't really have all that many, at least so far, we don't have that many cross-country carriers. I think we might have one or two here in Scandinavia, but generally not that many.
Pestles, nice getting to talk to you. I'm going to bed. Good night, guys.
You're not even mini PCing?
Nope. Just going to bed.
Okay.
So it is 10 o'clock here in the United States, and it's usually about the time we start to wrap up, right, Dan?
Yeah. We're going to go ahead.
All right.
No, wait. Was somebody going to say something else?
Nope. Other than everyone have a great Halloween and trick-or-treats tomorrow here in Columbus, although I don't know if I want to do candy or not because it's going to be raining.
Hey, trolls.
Yeah, Dan? What's up?
Because it's you.
Right.
And for you, I have fixed the forums.
There you go.
I actually just saw that.
So.
Oh, and Murph Well, you know what it was? At OLF.
Like, this, I should have looked at this further a long time ago, because it was a really easy fix, and it had nothing to do with my sequel. Right? Oh. Cause like, I tested my sequel, I'm like, man, this thing, I haven't, the database is there, everything is there, it's all functional, it's there. I don't know what the problem is. It had cached files or something. Like, the forum, like, cached the connection information to the database. So it was, even though the config file was fine, it was always using whatever was cached. And I don't know, so I had to delete or get rid of what was in the cache there. And, which isn't in the database, it was in the local file system. Now that's fixed, and it just connected off of that. But there are some things that are missing, images and stuff that I'm trying to find where they, I have nowhere I could probably find them, but.
Is this an old snapshot of the forum, or is it the latest?
No, that was what was there when it went down.
Okay.
That was the last time. Now, this isn't a snapshot. This is the forum.
But here, I'm just looking at the dates of some of this. I see the latest post is like 2015. That's a long time ago. It's literally over 4 years ago.
Yeah, like I said, it's been down for a couple of years. I know that.
Yeah, I checked archive.org, and it's basically been down since, I think, March 2017.
Wow, there it is. Just went to TLLTS.org. It's still got the Myth TV cast in there. Hey, how about that, Pat?
Now, Dan, new project. Enable SSL on this thing.
It's there, but I got to fix the SSL cert.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta fix my cert. So much stuff I need to do.
Yeah.
The latest tech show discussion post was 2014.
Man.
Actually, one thing
I wonder if our wiki's up still.
Yeah, no, the wiki's still there.
No, it's not. That was Link's thing.
Wait, what do you mean it's not that? I just looked at it a few weeks ago.
TLLTS.org/wiki. Invalid page name. We're sorry for the inconvenience.
Actually, we were talking about that Ohio Linux Festival. Are those actually common still?
You got Ohio Linux Fest, you got Southeast Linux Fest, you've got Scale, the Texas Linux Fest, and I don't know, is that it?
Because one thing I've been thinking about really
Northeast.
Recently, do you guys remember that documentary that was done like 2001 called Revolution OS?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Dan, you interviewed the director after having pirated his movie. Remember that? Dan thought you could like pull it down from YouTube, and then like a month later he had the director on.
Yeah, I know, I remember that now. I didn't remember
that. Anyway, but I was just thinking about that like recently. And thinking, man, that's almost 20 years ago. Like that thing came out. Because that was like 2001, he was filming the whole VA Linux and when Red Hat went public and all this stuff. It was like, man, that's a long time ago.
Well, I am looking at the...
What happened? Did you get him?
Uh-oh.
What happened? What were you thinking about?
The schedule for Ohio Linux Fest, and I'm looking at Saturday morning, and I'm not seeing a whole lot of things I want to actually see. Everything I want to see is Friday. Maybe I might, I'll probably go see Ricky's talk, and... There's a talk called Sudo Make Me a Sandwich. And then I...
Forget you too.
I'm Who, here. Me?
No, I know. I was listening to Joel. He keeps cutting out.
Oh. I don't know why that is. Am I still cutting out?
I think you're okay now.
Oh.
Damn it. Are you using that voice activation in Mumble?
Locks? No, I'm doing key presses.
Okay.
I'm wondering if it's because I don't have anything going over. I have that display link screen connected to my laptop tonight. I don't usually cover. Dang it, and then Amber's talk's not till 4 o'clock. Her second talk's not till 4 o'clock. So, man, I don't like, I like having Ohio Fest here. I like that it's close. I like that I don't have to pay for it. I also don't like that it's here.
Well, since he left early. Ben, can I get a, do you still close out with music?
We don't
just
generally.
Promos.
Don't
so
play
again?
Why, what are you looking for?
Well, I remember in the old days you would usually play something at the end.
No, we play some stuff at the end. Was there something specific you were looking for?
Yeah, I think given our earlier conversation, I got just the thing. And I actually think you played this back in like 2004 or something, but you know, since I'm here, you might, after 10 years, you might want to re-air this.
Wouldn't you like to know?
I'm just sending it to you in the IRC. Play this, uh-oh. It'll be funny.
Hold on, let me get to the IRC. Oh, there. Let me see what I can do. I gotta see if I have YouTube downloads set up. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, this. Do I?
It's not Doba, is it?
No. Let me see if I can. How can I do this?
With a Mantham. You remember the Mantham trolls?
No. I remember.
Typically, that was a Burger King commercial here in the States.
Alright, let me see. This should work.
And quack like a duck, too.
See if this works. Wait, where did it go? Well, maybe I should not do it from there. Let's see if it works. Hold on. I'll tell you if it works. Yeah, there we go. Okay, I can play it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I can play it.
Forsworn.
You got it. And it's truer than ever.
All right, let me see here. Yeah, I'll play that for you. Make everybody happy. Anybody else?
Nope.
Nice talking to you, trolls, man. It's been real. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's nice of you to say, Pat. I appreciate it. It has. It definitely has. As I said earlier, I've been thinking about getting in touch for like a year or two, but then now I've finally got around to it. So, if you want me to talk about something, I can. If you want me to do like a whole show on ZFS, I can do that.
You should come on again, definitely.
Definitely come back.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yep.
Who cares what Joel says, right, Joel?
I don't care.
We could skip talking about phones for a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. But actually, do any of you guys use CFS?
I set it up with a VM. That's it. Yes. I haven't taught myself the other stuff. So, yes.
Okay. Well, since it's mostly FreeBSD people talking about it, I guess maybe I could talk about it.
Yeah, let's do that. So, all right, I'm going to play this out. I got to thank you. Thank you, Trolls, for coming on. Thank you, everybody else, for being here. We'll see you in 1 week. Happy Halloween. And here it is. Troll, your song.
The internet is really, really great.
For porn.
I got a fast connection, so I don't have to wait.
For porn. What?
There's always some new site.
For porn.
I browse all day and night.
For porn.
It's like I'm surfing at the speed of light.
For porn.
Trekkie.
The internet is for porn.
Trekkie.
The internet is for porn.
What are you doing?
Why you think the net was born? Porn, porn, porn.
Trekkie.
Oh, hello, Kid Monster.
You are ruining my song.
Oh, me sorry. Me no mean to.
Well, if you wouldn't mind please being quiet for a minute so I can finish.
Okie dokie.
Good. I'm glad we have this new technology.
For porn.
Which gives us untold opportunity.
For porn. Oh, sorry.
From your own desktop.
For.
You can research, browse, and shop. Until you've had enough and you're ready to stop.
For porn.
Trekkie.
The internet is for porn. The internet is for porn.
Trekkie.
Me up all night hugging me porn to porn. Porn, porn.
That's gross. You're a pervert.
Sticks and stones, Kate Monster.
No, really. You're a pervert. Normal people don't sit at home and look at porn on the internet.
You have no idea. Ready, normal people?
Ready.
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 Let me hear it.
The internet is for porn.
Sorry, Kate.
The internet is for porn.
I masturbate.
All these guys unzip their flies for porn. Porn.
The internet is not for porn.
Porn.
Hold on a second.
Wow.
Now, I happen to know for a fact that you, Rob, check your portfolio and trade stocks online.
Ooh. That's correct.
And Brian, you buy things on Amazon.com.
Sure.
And Gary, you keep selling your possessions on eBay.
Yes, I do.
And Princeton, you sent me that sweet online birthday card.
True.
Oh, but Kate, what you think he do after?
Yeah.
Ew!
The internet is for porn.
Gross!
The internet is for porn.
I hate
grab your dick and double click for porn, porn, porn.
I hate the net.
Porn,
I'm leaving. Porn, porn, I hate the internet.
The internet is for internet is for internet is for porn. Yeah.
Oh crap. Oh. That one come out all right. You're too far behind for it to be worth doing anymore. It's so literal. That's enough from the base. That one come out alright.
Oh no, it killed it. I didn't want to have all that other crap in there. Alright, here you go.
Oh my god.
It's Hacker
Public
Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hi, folks. This is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Haunty Magoo, 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Alright. Damn, some stuff is missing.
What, in the forums?
Yeah, some pictures that I posted. Like, the Hoagie Guy manual is missing. I'm looking for that. I'm like, I gotta pull it off.
How could you lose that?
I don't know. I have the location where it's supposed to be. It's just not there. So I gotta pull down the,
Well, and then MySpace, which is still there, the Hoagie Guy profile is still there, but they took away all the things that you used to be able to do on MySpace where you could customize things. So all the garish, animated backgrounds that you put in there are all gone now.
Man, the Hoagie Guy, that's one of those, TLLTS, classics.
The Hoagie Guy geoshitting.
I have to have it. It's gotta be on my, I converted
Let's see, Dan, I gotta go.
Alright, take it easy. I converted the images, from VMware to VirtualBox so I can access them. So I'm gonna have to fire up that image and see if I can find it on there.
Just the X, is the stream still on?
Yeah. The stream's always on.
Well, then I can make a reference for anybody who wants to, go dig into the archive. There was, do you remember that story? I was actually laughing at it, just the other day, where you basically told this story where you had to go run and had an accident, to say the least.
Oh yeah, like, pooping in the bay.
Yeah. Oh man, that was just, I remember the first time I listened to that, I was on the floor laughing for 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah. All right, speaking of that, I have to stop the stream. I got to stop the recording.
You know, I'm in Orlando 5 days a week, so when I get home, it's like Honeydew Central. It's like, hey,
they're like, honey, can you do us a favor and go back?
Yeah, well, that's number one on the list. But yeah, I'll tell you what ticks me off is one of the divorce level fights that we had buying this house was my wife wanted a pool, and I said, you're never going to go in it, just like at your dad's house. None of your family members ever went in the pool, and I'm either going to be stuck maintaining it or paying for it to be maintained. I'm not getting a pool. Well, we got a pool. So guess who maintains it?
Does it ever get used?
I used it a couple of times this year, but
it gets used when he goes in to clean it.
Yeah, well, that too, yeah. But it's unfortunate. This year, I have not gone in the pool, like, to hang out and relax. It wasn't like, hey, let's have drinks by the pool, Having a pool sounds much cooler than it actually is. And plus, we're busy all the time. Which is the dickiest excuse I have ever made for anything, because believe it or not, if my family goes somewhere, if we go to a hotel that has a pool, they're all in the pool. But meanwhile, on my bedroom, I just have to slide open the door and walk out to the pool. Nobody goes in the pool. But pretty much the only time I've been in the pool this year was like, I got really hot doing something and I just jumped in the pool to cool off. But the other thing is my wife won't go in the pool unless it's like 95 degrees, so.
And you haven't divorced her yet?
Oh, dude.
She goes in the pool whenever he's, not there.
No, I got cameras I can see. Yeah, and I haven't had the hot tub working in a couple of years. The heat pump isn't working. So we did use the hot tub like almost a couple nights a week when the heat pump was working. But yeah, I probably ought to get the heat pump working because then we'll probably use everything a little more. So I'm watching a video on CNN right now. It's on mute, but they're showing pictures and video from the al-Baghdadi raid.
Mm-hmm. We talked about it a little bit last week, but I'll save it for the show.
The al-Baghdadi raid?
Nope. The Sentio Superbook.
Oh, yeah. I saw your posting.
Are you recording, Dan?
He's not recording.
No, am I not
yet?
No, I'm recording. I've been recording.
Oh, okay, so we got to keep it clean. So I can't tell you really.
Now he's recording. And since when is him being recording stopping you from being dirty, dude? Come on.
I'm
he's
not
got
with
potty mouth.
That's not me. Everybody knows me.
Right. No, you just make other people, you just piss other people off to do that.
Hey, what the heck? But it's not me.
Right.
And by other people, we're talking about Joel, is what we're talking about.
Nah, not only you. Not only me.
Wait a second.
You can trigger others. You can trigger
who
others.
Else?
You have.
Who else? I don't know of anybody else.
Anyways.
Chad Wallenberg. There you go.
Yep.
Did I get C. Wally pissed off?
I know you've done it to Peg. You pissed off Pegwall at least once.
How the hell do you piss off Pegwall?
Oh, it's pretty hard. Pegwall,
dude, you know, my hat's off to you, sir. Bravo. I don't know how you did it, but I guess you did it.
Is there anybody that Rich hasn't pissed off?
That's actually
a short list, dude.
You know, my wife, I can hear her jumping up and down saying, me, be me, he pisses me off all the time.
No, that you haven't pissed off.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's never pissed me off.
So, let's see. All I gotta say is F you to all you guys, because Pegwall was the only one that wished me happy birthday.
Wait, when was your birthday?
The 25th.
Didn't we wish you happy birthday?
Did you?
Yeah, wait, didn't we say happy birthday to you?
I got this thing called a chop.
So, you know what? You know what? You know what? F you.
Yeah. I just live to be on Facebook and MeWe and everything else all day, right? So, no.
Well, I mean, maybe Peggy has the time to do it.
Wait, I'm pretty sure it was mentioned on last show. Week.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then none of us remembered it was your birthday last week. That's terrible.
No, we said happy birthday on the show. That's all we need to do.
Yeah.
Do you have a nice birthday, man?
No, not at all.
Oh, well then, did you really want us bringing it up?
You made some steaks, man. Those look good.
I mean, you turned 95.
Yeah, the steaks look better than they tasted. But
really. Was that the fillets?
No,
this was just
garden variety.
What happened to the
red wine reduction sauce?
Just, I'm not allowed to cook that kind of stuff that often. The red wine reduction sauce is fattening. Yeah. Doesn't happen that way.
Yeah. Well,
although I should have pushed that topic. So, my wife's birthday is the 16th, mine is the 25th, and my wife, not that the birthday present was her new iPhone, but she got a new iPhone. And spent like a day at the spa. And, you know, kind of my birthday present was...
And you got a Huawei and a bottle of soda, right?
Right.
There you go.
My birthday present was kind of, I went to the Iraq veteran shoot. You know, that cost...
That was two weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, look, the hotel was $150 and it cost whatever gas to drive 7 hours each way. So, you know, that adds up. And if that's my birthday present, I'm okay with it.
What do you mean?
I got her.
Like, wait a second. You say if that's my birthday present, like you don't know already. Like, there's something.
Oh, I know.
There's possibly a surprise coming. Wait, a week after your birthday?
Wait, my daughter just got me a card. I didn't even get a gift from her. Now I'm really thinking about it.
Did she make the card herself?
No.
Oh. Well, she's cared enough to get you a card.
Yeah.
That's a
not
lot.
Everybody makes the big bucks like you do.
Yeah, I don't even make the. You know what it is? I do make the big bucks. Let me not lie about it. I'm just in so much freaking debt. If anybody ever told me that my gross family income was going to be a certain amount, I would have been doing the lucky me dance for years. Because between my wife and I, we make a really good gross earning. It's just that like $100,000 worth of credit card debt that I have that's really killing me.
That'll do it.
Yep.
Yeah, 26%.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm trying to reorganize my debt. That's what I'm working on. It's in the works.
Mm-hmm. Now, I just love this. I'm in a new position, and I'm still getting emails from my old position.
Did you get the Kama Sutra? Is that a position from the Kama Sutra?
No,
no,
you got one of those,
idiot.
You got a cracker that you pull it open, and it has the die in there. It's like a little thing, and then you roll the die, and it gives you a different position.
Oh, okay. Sure, whatever. Yeah. Because I'm stupid and I pick up my work iPhone and
Dan,
email.
Can you cut that part?
Because I'm stupid?
Yes, yes.
I'll see about doing that.
Rich is stupid too. Spends too much money on ammo. I'm kidding. There's no way you could do that.
I'm not sure how much ammo I bought in like the last 2 years. I really haven't bought a whole lot. Just because I bought so much in the previous years and haven't gone to the range. But yep. There's nothing better than going to a shoot that's free and then you can shoot other people's machine guns for free and you don't have to load the ammo or even pay for it.
It's like when I go to the office, I get beverages of all sorts for free.
Hold on. We went from talking about shooting
what?
To you being at the office.
Wait, we went from machine guns to coffee?
No, it's related, dude. It's because I can drink as much Diet Pop as I want when I'm at the office because the fridge is full of it.
Wait a second. When are you going to be in Orlando, Joel?
Second week of December.
December? Oh, I thought it was November.
December 8th? No. No. Are you kidding? No. Actually, I got to do an expense report because I'm getting, you know, you get those managers that say, oh, you need to read this book. Like, for example, like one of the books I have to read is Six Thinking Hats. Your success in business. And then you come in and she starts wagging her tail and starts licking your hand. That's my dog. For sure. Anyway. But yeah, then the dysfunctional team or whatever. I forget what the other one is. That one's got an audible, so I'm just going to listen to it on the plane.
Is that what you have to do for the new team or the old team or both?
New team.
Okay.
Old team barely. No. Here's the good one, and I'll put this doesn't have to be on this show. But I've been in my new position for a month, okay? 2 weeks after that, they took one of the other guys. My team existed. Old team was three people, me and two other guys. Okay, so they take one of the other guys, gives him to the transition team in the cloud side in my department. All right, so I'm on assurance. He in taking care of steady state. He's taking care of transition. Okay, and then last week they sign. Not one, not two, but three on-prem installs, and they have nobody to do the work. But guess who's doing the work? One of them, me. I'm telling you. Don't understand when management make decisions like that, but they did. So, I don't care. It's because of that. I went ahead, I was due for an upgrade on my phone. I went ahead and upgraded from the iPhone 7 to the iPhone 11. So, it's an okay phone. Camera's decent. Not that I use that much, to be honest. No, and then months later, and by months I'm talking like 8-9 months, I'm getting emails from one of my old clients that says, "Hey, Nat, we're ready to do these updates now." And I'm like, "Yeah, so sorry, I'm not there anymore."
Did they cry?
No, I haven't read the email yet. I'll wait until the morning to do that.
Will you wait until Halloween to break the bad news? They're like, "I can't wait to get home and have a good time," and then they're going to find out you're no longer working for them. They're going to be like, "My whole year is now ruined. We don't get any more joys."
Ironically enough, this customer, they're asking for the on-prem work to be done, but ironically enough, they're in process of moving into the cloud. So they're in the transition side. They have a system on site and they have their system in the cloud right now. So, and it's
just set up an out of office notification saying, "I'm no longer with such and such a team. I'm with such and such a team."
Yeah, I should filter that somehow and do that. Write a rule that does that. Yeah, that's an idea. No. That's a little impersonal. That's like when I called.
Hey, you know, it might be impersonal, but you got other work to do.
True, but it's like I call Home Advisor.
Yeah, he's got to read those books.
I went. Yeah, true. But no, I went on Home Advisor to try and get a guy to come out and do an estimate on the flooring and some work we want done downstairs. I get this phone call on my phone, and I'm like, "Okay, what is this?" Most phone calls I get on my cell, I usually ignore. This time I picked it up, and he says, "Hi, we're from Empire Flooring." It wasn't a person. It was actually a robot. Empire Flooring. Yeah, one of the companies that wanted to put a bid on a project. And I'm like, you can't freaking have somebody actually pick up a phone and call me? You're not getting my business.
Wait, what project?
My wife wanted me to start working on getting estimates to get the flooring and stuff downstairs done.
Oh.
So, basically, downstairs, probably needs another, like, some skim work on the walls and some, another coat of paint, because there's at least on the one wall. The one wall is a mess, and we've been trying to work on it and trying to get it look good, and she's just not happy with how we're being able to do it. She ain't going to be happy with how they're doing it. I'm perfectly happy with the way the walls look right now because I'm a man.
I don't know what that means.
I'm a man, and I don't expect my wall to be pristine. As long as it looks all one color, I'm happy.
That's like, I moved into the house, and there was the only thing we had to do in the house was the master bedroom. The person in the master bedroom smoked, so I rented a carpet cleaner, and that got the smoke. I was shocked. I thought I had to throw out the carpet. Fine, one cleaning did it.
No, steam cleaners do good actually. Those rug doctors, they're not bad.
A quote unquote steam cleaner. It's a wet vac. You know, let's call
right,
it what
yeah.
it is. That did it no problem. I did have to, like, use an oil-based primer, and I had to put, like, two coats in the bathroom because I guess they smoked in the John. And that was it. But, nope, my wife had to have, you know, all sorts of different colors, and she wanted to repaint the exterior that was just painted before we bought it, you know, like the week before we bought it. I'm like, that's not happening.
Well, mine's just because we've been in a house for 20 years. You know, we moved in and everything was brand new. Then I had a kid for 20 years who, you know, through childhood destroyed things, you know. And it's just trying to get things, you know, fixed up here and there. And that's like the flooring down. I'm getting rid of, for the most part, I don't want carpets anywhere in the house except for, like, maybe in a couple of rooms I just don't want to do. Like, my office would be a pain in the ass to do
right
now.
I have tile all through the house, and because we sleep with the house cold, you know, like 69 degrees at night.
Right.
I hate walking on it in the morning, you know, so I...
Right.
So I do appreciate carpet, but oh my gosh, it's like if you walk around barefoot, it's way too freaking cold.
You can get heated flooring for tile, but
well, yeah, that's like new construction you can do.
Right.
But look, existing.
No, you can do it on existing. Existing. Well, we were. It costs some money.
Yes. Yeah.
But you can.
You can do anything you want if you want to throw enough money at it.
That's right.
And so here's a struggle that I have with my house. There's things I want to do, but the question is, what's the return on investment? Is it something that is right. going to be worth it that I'm going to enjoy so much, or is it just going to marginally increase the resale value and I'm going to be out a lot of money?
Why don't you just get like, some like throw area rugs and put them down?
You see, and that's what we're gonna do. When we put down, like, we're gonna put the same kind of flooring we put in the bathroom and the kitchen, pretty much all over the house. And then in certain areas, like when we set up like in the living room, I'm just gonna get an area rug. That way, if the animals fuck it up, I can just go buy a new rug and toss that one out, you know, and it's not as much of a hassle to do that as it is to get new carpet whenever the animals screw it up. You know, cause, you know, let's face it, animals, as good as they are, sometimes they'll, especially my dog, she's older, so I mean, if you, you know, she's just getting old, you know, so it's gonna happen, you know.
My animals are not good. If there's a rug, they're gonna shit on it or puke on it.
Well, yeah, I mean.
that's the way they operate. If they're gonna go, they're gonna go.
That's the way animals are, yeah.
So, I mean, they're not gonna do it. Yeah. They're gonna do it half on the rug and half on the floor, so it's the best of both worlds.
Yeah, it's nothing like laying in bed in the morning and you hear your cat going, and you're like, oh god.
That's when you hope another one eats it.
Oh my god.
Or the dog takes care.
Yes. Well, you hope that the dog takes care. If it's vomit, you hope the dog eats it, cause sometimes she does, cause she's weird, but you know, hey, she's a dog.
We should probably start the show, shouldn't we?
Yeah, we've only been talking bullshitting for 15 minutes now.
Well,
so start the show so we can bullshit about other stuff.